You may remember that in my days in Canada, I tried to teach a lot of Ramban al Torah. And today, I want to come back to the Ramban al Torah here in Parshas Vayishlach, which is going to be read in Mirtz Hashem in just 3 days' time. The Ramban focuses our attention on the parsha here in Vayishlach, the episode of Reuven mixing up the beds of Bilhah and the punishment that he suffered as a result. So let's just read the pasuk. Vayehi bishkon Yisrael ba'aretz ahi, vayelech Reuven vayishkav es Bilhah, pilegesh aviv, Vayishma Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu is going to really rip it in to Reuven later on in Parshas Vayechi when he bestows the brachos. Pachas kamayim al tosa ki olitza al mishkeve avicha oz chilalta yitzui olav. The Ramban makes a comment here in Vayishlach ba'arichus, and then he shortens it and abbreviated, but basically repeats the same theme in Parshas Vayechi. Here, in Parshas Vayishlach, he says, Al derech ha-pshat. Now when you hear the words Al derech ha-pshat, you think the Ramban is going to say something that is absolute. But then the next word he says, Yitochen, which sounds like he's vacillating, he's not sure. He says, what was motivating Reuven? And again, there are many, many answers to this question. The Ramban comes up with his own answer. He says that Bilbel Reuven Yitzue Bilhah Mipachto Shaloteled Liyakov Od Kihu Abachar Vechashav Lakacha Shnecha Lokim Vehu Yafsid Yosef Mikola Achim. And what's happening here is that since Reuven is the Bechar and he wants to get double portion, the fewer number of, the lower number of competitors, the better Reuven is off. And therefore, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Therefore, in order to guarantee his portion in the Bechorah, he says he organized it in such a way that it would be impossible for another child to be born that would again compete for the Chelek HaBechorah.
This is the Ramban?
The Ramban. This is your first source on your page. And the Ramban says, Lachem, this is the part that we want to emphasize, Nitla Mimenu HaBechorah. The punishment fits the crime. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Bechorah from Reuven as an appropriate punishment for the crime of trying to hoard the Bechorah for himself, so to speak. If you take a look at the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, again in a short and abridged form, he repeats his thesis on the Pasuk Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. He says, HaPasuk Hazeh Kefi Pshuto Nireh. He leaves out the word Yitochen here. Ki Reuven Niskaven Lifsol Es Bilhah Mi'aviv. He wanted to exclude Bilhah from his father Yaakov. Kedei Shelo Teled Lo Od Banim, so that she shouldn't give birth to more sons. V'yamitu Bechoroso, and that would cause his portion to be diminished. Al Kein Omer Lo Shehu Pchisus V'Kalus Hadas. And he says this is a low kind of motivation that's more appropriate for someone who's a kal das, who's not a serious person. Sheyachshov larviach, he's trying to make more of a successful business deal here, and as a result, the paradox is that instead of Reuven gaining from this plan, he actually loses from this plan because he forfeits the Bechorah. So what we have here in the Ramban are three words Mida keneged mida, which we'll find all over Chazal. And many of the different episodes and punishments that we'll learn about in Tanakh are interpreted by Chazal as mida keneged mida. And although mida keneged mida is mentioned here in Vayishlach, in the Ramban, with regard to Reuven's losing the Bechorah, we're using Vayishlach and this Ramban as a starting point. In Hebrew we call it a keresh kfitza, you know, it's just a jump off point to get a broader view on this concept in divine punishment called mida keneged mida. And basically, we want to understand the mechanics and the purpose. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga in this world is mida keneged mida? What's the ultimate goal of mida keneged mida? When does it apply and what's its purpose? Let's fast forward to next week, to Parshas Vayeshev, another great example of mida keneged mida, because in Mechiras Yosef, it is none other than Yehuda who turns to his father with a ketones that's full of blood, and he says, Haker na, recognize, haktones bincha hi. Those two words, Haker na, will be repeated almost immediately after the episode of Mechiras Yosef, in the episode of Tamar. Because Tamar, as she's being brought out to the stake, to be burnt at the stake, she sends the Choseves and the Psila to Yehuda, her father-in-law, with the words, Haker na. Is it coincidental that those two words, Haker na, appear almost in the same parsha? It's just like a couple of psukim apart, one from the other. So the Medrash says that this is an example of mida keneged mida. Because Yehuda was guilty of the Haker na when he presented the ketones pasim to his father after the Mechira, he would now have to suffer the busha of Haker na when he realizes that it was he who had a relationship with a woman that he thought was just a prostitute, alei maderech, but really turns out to be his own daughter-in-law. So we have two examples, almost one parasha after the other, of mida keneged mida. We have the parasha of Reuven, and he's going to suffer the loss of his bechorah, and we have the parasha of Yehuda, who's going to suffer the humiliation at the time of Tamar. Now notice that there's a conceptual difference between the two cases. And I mean the following. In the case of Reuven, we're talking about a sin of Reuven that, according to the Ramban's interpretation, was motivated by his love and desire for the Bechorah. It makes sense that now he'd be punished in the Bechorah itself. In the case of Yehuda, the mida keneged mida is really structured around what we call the Lashon HaMikra. There's no indication here that Yehuda's punishment is in any way appropriate for his crime. There doesn't seem to be a quid pro quo relationship between Yehuda and the episode of Tamar and Yehuda selling Yosef and telling his father Haker na. The only mida keneged mida here is the language of the Torah in both places, Haker na. And the one who's bothered by this is the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva of Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Sichot Musar. And after quoting this Chazal of mida keneged mida in the Haker na, he says, "Hadavar Torah Biur." I don't understand. Heichan Yeshkan Hanoga Shel Mida Keneged Mida Baonish. Mida Keneged Mida means that the punishment is meant to fit the crime. He says, "I don't see this. All I see here is that the Lashon Haker Na is used in both places, but the real punishment that Yehuda is going to suffer in the Mice of Tamar is Busha." Therefore, what is the Hanhoga here of Mida Keneged Mida, asks Rav Chaim, in the case of Yehuda and Tamar? It seems nothing more than a literary game that we're playing. You know what I mean? In poetry or in prose, perhaps you play games with words. You see a word here and you compare it to here. That doesn't give us an insight into the anhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He builds the same question on a third occasion of Chazal applying Mida Kineged Mida. This is the Gemara in Sota. And this is about Moshe Rabbeinu, who doesn't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. And in both cases, well, I shouldn't say in both cases, I didn't mention the first case. In the first episode, which is Korach, Korach comes before Moshe Rabbeinu claiming that he wants, you know, he's jealous, why is it that you guys take Melucha and you take Kahuna and I get cut out. So Moshe's response is, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Those are the words in the Torah, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. So Chazal point out in the Medrash, it's a Gemara in Sota as well, that the same two words, Rav Lachem, appear when Moshe comes begging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to enter into the land. And Chazal say, Nenash bi osa mida. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu declared to Korach v'Adoso, Rav Lachem, meaning you're asking, you're demanding too much, it's not fitting for you, so too Moshe would suffer the punishment of not being allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, because, how do we know there's a correlation? Because Hashem says to Moshe, Rav Lachem, the same Rav Lachem appears twice, and that's called Mida Keneged Mida. Once again, we fail to see the correlation or the correspondence between the chait and the onesh. All we see is a literary correspondence, a language that's used in two places.
I have a question. I mean, in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, the punishment is because he said those words. It's not even a disavowal action. So, I mean, you can't really compare that to Reuven or to Yehuda or anything else.
So Reb Chaim says the following. Reb Chaim says the following, that even if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have said to Korach, Rav Lachem, if he just would have said to them any language whatsoever that would indicate that you are going beyond your rights over here, who appointed you to be such a baligaiva that you deserve kahuna and you want to replace Aaron HaKohen? It's not the words Rav Lacha. The word Rav Lacha is only a tool in the hands of Chazal to establish Mida Keneged Mida. But when we talk about the Mida Keneged Mida on a level of the punishment fits the crime, where do we see this in the case of Korach, Moshe, being denied entry into Eretz Yisrael? Reb Chaim Shulevitz believes that there's something called Mida Keneged Mida that somehow inheres in the language of the Torah. The language of the Torah is a deliberate message called Mida Keneged Mida, even if we cannot know how the punishment fits the crime. So we have so far two examples from Reb Chaim. One is the example of Yehuda, who says Hakerna, and then he gets punished at the Mice of Tamar. And there too, Tamar says to him, Hakerna. And in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Lachem, the same language again. Now Reb Chaim gives a third proof. And this proof is from another punishment of Moshe. Yes, I'm sorry.
In the case of Korach, it's a direct challenge, not just to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's really a challenge to the Rabbanu Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu is in that situation is quite different, because Korach is challenging leadership and ultimately the Rabbanu Shalom.
So I think Yudi, if I understand your logic, you're only making the question even more difficult. Why? Because if Korach is challenging the leadership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why is Moshe Rabbeinu
the whole Masorah thing?
Correct. So why explain to me, is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be denied entry into Eretz Yisrael because he tells Korach and he puts him in his place and says, who are you to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's leadership? Where is the Where, you know, you say that a mida keneged mida, you know, in the case of Reuven, he deserves to forfeit the bechorah because he tries to utilize the bechorah and guarantee his chelek habechor for his own selfish benefits, if you accept the Ramban. I can begin to understand that the punishment is appropriate for the crime, but that Moshe Rabbeinu should be denied entry into Eretz Yisrael because he tries to put Korach in his place, when Korach is the rebellion against the authority of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that sounds a little bit wanting. Azoy Frechter of Chaim Shmulevitz. Now, again, if you have a problem, you have to write a letter to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I don't know if he'll get the letter.
I'm trying to understand, because if Korach Vadosai are activating something that is connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to decide, am I going to activate like a Amida Sadin type of thing here.
So why should Moshe be punished for that?
That a Kodesh Baruch Hu will have to step in and say, well, you know, are you acting in my place? Are you going to tell me what to do in order to deal with Korach?
I don't know. Listen, Yudi, I don't believe for one moment that Moshe Rabbeinu is guilty for defending God's honor.
No,
Moshe Rabbeinu has to do what he has to do.
You know, what's going to happen is that you're going to get swallowed up. So I'm going to do something here that's going to...
Okay, Rabosai, let's step back a little bit, because I think you guys are missing the forest for the trees. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is trying to build that language becomes a tool in Chazal's hand for Mida Keneged Mida. When Chazal see that a certain language, a certain word or a phrase repeats itself, Chazal jump on this and call it Mida Keneged Mida. You may have other explanations here, but let's see Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is saying that constantly, over and over again, Chazal are comparing two words. It's almost like a Gzera Shava. We have it by Hakerna, we have it by Rav Lecha. Listen to his third proof. Again, I'm assuming you went through the Marmakomos. David was very kind enough to circulate them. And his third proof is from the case of Rabbi Levi. And we're now dealing with the case. I lost my thought process.
The third case.
Yeah, I know. But again, I'm sorry. I just one second. I got a little sidetracked. What's the language here? Just one second. Oh, now we get to the case of Vehein Lo Yaminu Li. And the Yalkut says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you at the snare, you had a reaction or a response to the shlichus that you were sent on and commissioned on the mission to go to Klal Yisrael and to present yourself as the Redeemer of Israel. And your response, Moshe, was, I don't think the people of Israel will believe in me. So the Medrash says that once again there's a linguistic connection here between two parshios. In the parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu questioning the snare, and in the parsha in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Hein Karvu Yamech Lamus, we see a certain linguistic parallel. Again, you'll have to go through it in the Medrash. V'kasha, and he says the following. This is the question of Reb Chaim Shulevitz. I'm just hoping in the time allotment, depending upon how merciful you'll be for me today, because I have a very... I don't want to give myself credit for coming to this year, but in any event, I have my challenge here. But if you'll be a little bit empathetic, you know, and go easy on me today, because I have to go from here to a checkup. Anyway, so I want to tell you the following. that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, and I hope you have page 1 of the Maror Mekomos on the bottom line of page 1, V'kasha, my nafkemina, what difference does it make, be'eza losha nemar lo, whether he says it, b'loshan karvu yamecha lamus, or he uses a different language, whether he says hakirna, whether he says rav lachem, why does that give me a principle called mida keneged mida? What's in the language connection here that generates a principle called mida keneged mida? Is it possible, says Rav Chaim, that we really don't understand what mida keneged mida is all about? Okay, so if you want to fight with someone, fight with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Okay, don't fight with Rabbi Berzon, because I'm talking about a great Rosh Yeshiva. And if we don't understand what the man has to say, then the problem is not in him, but it's in us. And he wants to develop a new thesis and a new perspective on what Mida Keneged Mida is all about. Is that okay? All right, I'm just asking for a little bit of empathy here. All right. Now, let's talk about another couple of possibilities or scenarios of Mida Keneged Mida. We have a Gemara in Masechtas Sota, which you'll see on page 2 of your Maror Mekomos on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara deals with a punishment for the Sota. And her punishment, the Gemara says, is Mida Keneged Mida. You'll see it in the wide lines. It says, Tanya HaYarebi Omer Minayin Shebemida Shadam Modedim Lo Modeid Ba Adam Modedim Lo. And once again, the Gemara finds a certain parallel between the Avera, the sin of the Sota, and the punishment of the Sota. So if we get a chance, we'll go through the Gemara inside. Let me give you another couple of examples of what's going on here. I have a list here, but for some reason, of course, I'm not finding my list when I need it. Because I probably left it in my valise here. But anyway, just from memory, the next case that we have is HaKofer B'Tchiyas HaMesim, Ein Lo Chelek B'Tchiyas HaMesim. That makes sense. Or for example, HaMis'atzel B'Hespedo Shel Chacham, then Eino Marich Yomim. Right? He is, in a sense, denying or shall I say, freezing the honor and the respect for the death of a chacham, then he will die early. There's some sort of connection between the two. Take, for example, Vashti. The Gemara says in Megillah, which I think is here on page 3, that Vashti was guilty of persecuting the Jewish women on page 4, and therefore she was put to death. She will also suffer a tremendous persecution. In the case of Chava, she tries to lord it over Adam by saying that he should eat from the Eitz Hadas, and her punishment is El Ishech Chukasech V'hu Yimshal Bach. Instead of you controlling him, he's going to control you. And we'll see, B'li Neder, how the Ramban develops this idea. In the case of the Chashmonaim, the Ramban is of the opinion that the Chashmonaim were guilty of a sin of taking away Malchus from Shevet Yehuda. And as a result, the entire lineage of the Chashmonaim was completely eradicated, completely destroyed. So what is the logic of Mida Keneged Mida? And here we have a split, so to speak, divergent views of Chazal. The first view of Chazal is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin that I indicated before, and you'll see this on page 3. And the Gemara says, HaKofer B'Tchiyas HaMesim is Ein Lo Chelek B'Tchiyas HaMesim. And the Gemara explains that that's called Kol Midosef Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida. Fine, that we have in the case of HaKofer B'tchiyas HaMeisa. Then we had the case of the Sota, and there's an entire sugya that we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, in Masechta Sota, which you'll see on page 2, Adav Ches Amid Beis, about the Mida Keneged Mida and the punishment of the Sota. We have the Gemara Megillah on the fourth page with regard to Vashti and Mida Keneged Mida. Says the Ramban, what is Mida Keneged Mida all about? And he answers the following, that a woman, because of the metaphysical curse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the chait of Eitz Hadas, that she would suffer tremendously at birth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, El Ishech Tshukasech, meaning that you will have a desire to be with your husband. Says the Ramban, Henish O Soshetia Nichsefes Niod El Baila, and this, if you want to follow this, is on page 4 of the Mara Makomos, and you'll see it on the bottom right of, I'm sorry, in the middle section in Brachos, and then we'll get to the bottom right in a second. And he says that on the one hand, El Ishech Chukosech Shetehenech Sefes Miod El Baila, that a married woman has a natural desire to be with her husband, even though it doesn't make any sense, because if she gets pregnant, she's going to suffer tsar hirayon v'leda, and he's going to treat her as a superior treats someone below him, because hu yimshal bach, the pasuk says. And on the one hand, it's very paradoxical, El Ishech Chukasek, but then Hu Yimshalbach. He says that's antithetical to a natural kind of desire of a person, because Eina Minig Lios Evid Mishtokek Liknos Adon Liatzmo, right? The Evid doesn't want to have an Adon who's going to rule over him. Al Yivach Mimenu Bertzono, he'd rather run away as a fugitive, but here she's attracted to her husband, knowing full well that Hu Yimshalbach, El Ishech Chukasef Hu Yimshalbach. Says the Ramban that Hine Zu Mida Keneged Mida Ki Hi Anosenes Hi Nasna Gamli Yisho V'Yochal B'Mitzvasa, she gave from the Eitz Hadas to her husband and he ate because she told him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Again, it doesn't mean that he's not guilty, but she's the one who, so to speak, controlled him and influenced him. Onsha, her punishment is shalotehe hi amitzava olav od, that she will no longer be the one to command him, but rather hu yitzava olav kirtzono. And it becomes crystal clear here that the Ramban understood that mida keneged mida is some sort of a relationship or a correspondence between the sin, the crime, and its punishment. The Ramban repeats himself here on the bottom of page 4 with regard to the Chashmonaim. And he writes in Parshas Vayechi regarding the Chashmonaim, why were they cut off from this world? Mida keneged mida, she'aviru malchus mishevet Yehuda. They destroyed malchus, and therefore their malchus would be forever destroyed. Ulefi daiti, says the Ramban, hayu hamalachim hamolchim al Yisrael mishar hashvatim achrei David. Any king who took over the kingship and he came from a shevet other than David, he wasn't from the lineage of David, he says any such king violates the command of Yaakov Avinu at the end of his life, that Yehuda should be the king, and Gur Aryeh Yehuda, etc., and the kingship is given to Shevet Yehuda, so any other Sheva that comes and appoints themselves as king, they are usurping Malchus from Beis David. Says the Ramban, Zeh hoya onesh hachashmonoim shemolchu bebayis sheni ki hoyu chasidei olam. He praises them. V'afal piche nenshu onesh gadol. They were completely wiped out. Bavur shemolchu v'lo hoyu mizera Yehuda mibeis David. Hisiru shevet v'machokeg legamre. They completely replaced the shevet, meaning the sovereign control of Yehuda. V'hoya onsha mida keneged mida shehim shel HaKadosh Baruch Aleim esavdehem, who would actually destroy the Hashmonaim, it's their very slaves. V'hemech risum, and they destroyed the Malchus of the Hashmonaim forever and ever. So if we put these two Rambans together, we see a pattern. And add to that the Ramban here in Parshas Vayishlach about the Bechora and the taking away the Bechora from Reuven, that the Ramban is working hard to assume that if we delve into punishments in a deep way, we will see that Mida Keneged Mida means that somehow the punishment actually fits the crime. However, the Rambam, and this you'll see on page 5 of Yemara Makomos, the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Avos, seems to have a different twist to Mida Keneged Mida. The Rambam writes that the Anhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, he Dover anira la'ayin b'chol esu b'chol zmanu b'chol makom shekol mi sheyasa ra v'yechadesh mine chamas u'pchisus hu atzmo yuzak min haroz ha'hem bi'atzmo masher chidesh. The Rambam understands that mida keneged mida, at least in this context, means that he sets up a trap. He creates something that's destructive. He himself will suffer from the very destructive force that he created. V'nei shehu limed es ha-malacha. He taught the malacha of Hezek. And now he will suffer the Hezek from that which he himself taught. And therefore, he says, Kevan shalimeid malacha shatiasen nezek is nasen nezek lo. The nezek will now jump back at him. And then the Rambam says it works in the other flip side, that if he's malamed a maila, if he teaches something that's good, v'pol tov min atovos, then yagia elov to'eles apolahu, that he himself will eventually benefit from that tova. So let's now see if we can summarize the various approaches to Mida Keneged Mida. The first approach that I want to mention to you, which you'll see on page 5, but towards the bottom of the page, or on the left side, is the Ran in his drashos. The Ran says that Mida Keneged Mida is a lesson in Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch. We want to learn and study about God's providence. And he writes, Rotz Hashem Yisparach b'mida keneged mida kedei shetisyashev inyan hashgacha b'leiv b'nei adam. When we see a person is punished in a particular way, we know that it is the divine being who has intervened to bring about that punishment. And how do we know so? Because of mida keneged mida. So in other words, on the one hand, the Ran is reiterating a lot of what we said before, namely that the mechanics of Mida Keneged Mida is that somehow there's a relationship, a correspondence between the punishment and the crime, but the Ran in his drushes is adding a whole new purpose. What is God's goal in Mida Keneged Mida? And the answer is to teach us Hashgacha. Because God could bring about punishment in many different ways, we would never know that this person is suffering a punishment. We would never know that the divine being is meeting out the onesh. We can only know so because of Mida Keneged Mida. That's the Ran Shita. So if you give me just 5 minutes, I want to present two other Shitos in Mida Keneged Mida, and then we can try to analyze them. The second Shita is going to be the Shita, the Alshich, which is a commentary on the Torah called the Torah's Moshe on the bottom right of your page 3. And he uses the term Leman Hachai Yitain El Libo. What does that mean? Leman Yitain El Libo. When a person suffers, according to the Alshich, he becomes obligated to investigate his behavior, his actions, and determine which of them need tikkun and tshuva. He has to begin to objectively realize that what he's doing is not right. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu send a message to a person? You better check out this action. And his answer is, Mitoch ha'yisurim ha'boim olav, from the nature of the suffering, yifashbesh b'masov, he can now investigate his actions, v'yeda, and he can determine, al eza chet bo ha'yisurim, what was the chet, can identify it, and then al yidei kach yachzor b'tshuva. So that according to the Alshich, and we're going to see a similar idea in the Sefer HaChassidim, which is on the left side of your page 5, the purpose and the goal of Mida Keneged Mida is tshuva, which means to give a message to a person that if he'll only analyze and investigate his suffering, he will begin to be able to do tshuva, because he will reveal and he will understand where his iniquities, where his failings and shortcomings were. In the language of the Sefer Chassidim, he says, Siog lechassidus, hachai yitein alibo mikros upige b'nei adam. That a living person should look at all the mikros, the mikra means those events and incidents in his life, upige b'nei adam, and things that people are suffering from, v'yeda, and then he'll be able to discover and reveal ki al chatoim heim hayakein, that on these specific sins, this pegay hazman or the mikrim that happened were a result. Ubedavar asher yizdu asher zadu upar alehem mida keneged mida mitoch kach yifashbeish b'masav. Now it's interesting that the Sefer HaChassidim adds another element into the equation. Not only am I charged with the responsibility of looking into my own suffering and seeing if I could discover Mida Keneged Mida and identify the sin that I'm guilty of, but even with regard to someone else's suffering, I should view their suffering as a message to me as to why and how I should be doing tshuva. And zechazdo, this is a chesed of Hashem, befroa pros, when God brings about this suffering, is tochachos, it's really a hidden tochachal avon, within the Mida Keneged Mida Piron model. In other words, that framework of Mida Keneged Mida is going to be a framework within which we can get to Tochacha, Leman Achai Yitein Alibo Titavo Shoa, when some terrible catastrophe happens to him, El Asher Lo Tov Osa, and it should point to him and reveal to him where he was Lo Tov Osa. And therefore, Lecha Hashem Chesed, Ki Ata Teshalim Leish Kimaseu, Shehu Mida Keneged Mida, Shalken Yefashbeish VeYimtza Me'asher Chata Al Nefesh, and then Veshav v'rape lo. So the first answer is midah k'neged midah, according to the Ran, is a revelation of God's hashgacha. The second answer is that midah k'neged midah, according to the Alshich, according to the Sefer Chassidim, is a means, it is a message that's meant to wake up man. It's a wake-up call, if you will. It's like the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Uru Yesheda Mishnaschem. It's a wake-up call to tell a person that this is what he's guilty of, and therefore he has to do tshuva. It's a machayev of tshuva. And I think I once heard from my Rebbe that he said that Sarah is a machayev of tshuva. And it's written in one of his essays as well. Now on page 5, you'll see a short quote from the Nefesh HaChaim on the bottom right. Reb Chaim Volozhin. And Reb Chaim writes, Midaso yisparach shepoel adam yishalem mida keneged mida sha'oso ha'ever shekilkel upagam b'cheto al oso ever atzmo mevi ol of yisurim. Again, this is a metaphysical principle which you can either feel comfortable with or not. That's up to you. That's your own individual decision. But he says that the very aver, that part of the organ of the body which was guilty of sin, will suffer yisurim, and that's midah keneged midah. V'tachliso, and its ultimate purpose, says Reb Chaim, is k'dei shemitocha yisurim yavin ha'adam v'yedal eza chet ba v'yashiv el libo lios modeh v'ozev v'shav v'rapelo. So that we can put Reb Chaim Volozhin in the same camp as the Alshich and the Sefer Chassidim. This is a message to man where his sin lies and how he has to do tshuva. Now let's mention Reb Chaim Volozhin, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. We started with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and now we'll see on page 6 the answer that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's shmooze presents. If we're saying that midah keneged midah at this point does not mean that somehow the onesh is appropriate for the crime, it's sort of a built-in, you know, a boomerang from the crime, but rather it's a message that's sent to man, then, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the language becomes critical. Why is it that Chazal build case after case of midah keneged midah on the similarity in language? Says Reb Chaim, and this you'll see on page 6 going on to page 7 in the Maariv HaKomos, and this is Reb Chaim's insights into Parshas Vayeshev with the Mechiras Yosef and the Hakerno by Yehuda, and he says, Ubenei ma hismich Parshas Zu leParshas Zu Reb Yochanan Omer kidei lismoch heker leheker. Why is it that immediately after the episode of Mechiras Yosef, Tamar sends a message to Yehuda, Hakerna? Ah, Hakerna. Pardon the pun, it hocks into his head. Yehuda hears the words Hakerna. Wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Those were the same two words that I used when I presented the ketones pasim full of dam to Father Jacob. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, al yidei kach, it was divinely organized that she, Tamar, would use the words hakerna, kidei sheyala Yehuda al levavo, that Yehuda should begin to understand that when he said Hakerna at the Mechiras Yosef, he was guilty of a terrible sin. V'yekabel tochacha al kach. So again, Rabosai, although Rab Chaim Shmulevitz does not mention neither the Alshich, nor the Sefer Chassidim, nor Rab Chaim Volozhin of Nefesh HaChaim, but nevertheless, he builds on their logic that mida keneged mida doesn't mean, as we would have said it, that the punishment is somehow appropriate for the crime, but rather what it means is that the punishment is appropriate because it's meant to send a message and bring a person to do tshuva. It's meant to be a revelation of where man's sin lies. If only he would get the message. So whenever the message was received, then it's mida keneged mida, and that's the divine hanhaga that it has achieved its goal. So when Yehuda hears haker na, says Reb Chaim Shulevitz, that's mida keneged mida, because all of a sudden he wakes up from a slumber and he realizes that he was guilty of mechiras Yosef. That despite all the justifications and all the Chazal say that there was a Bezdin and so forth and so on, but at the end of the day, Yehuda has to realize what it is that he is guilty of. Are we saying that the busha, the embarrassment that he experienced at the time of Tamar when she sent the psil and so forth, is a punishment that's appropriate for selling Yosef? No. That's not Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. That's a different approach. And we'll see this approach over and over again, that there's a suffering that is appropriate for the crime. No. That's not what we're talking about here. Here, the punishment is chosen as a clear-cut message to the person who is guilty to wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that he better do tshuva for a certain avera. And if you take a look on the top of page 6, above Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you will see a sefer called Dibros Tzvi from Reb Tzvi Weisfish, and he writes, based on the Alshich, Shekol over avera achas, ki ilu borei koach tuma shemekatreg olav. When you commit a sin, Nebuch, then you are creating some sort of a powerful agent of contamination and evil who's going to serve as a prosecutor against you on high. And based on this, he says that mida keneged mida is mikevon shachet hu hu hamanish hare poshet hu shehumanish bi oso inyan shenotzar ubaliolam. He says, if it's inherent in the sin that you create this makatreg who's going to bring about your punishment in the Bezdin Shalmala, all this is a creation of the chet, then the chet is the manish. If the chet is the manish, then we have a mida keneged mida. Poshet shehu manish bi oso inyan shenotzar. His sin was such that it created some sort of pollution and corruption in the world. That corruption will now come back to haunt him because the onesh is a result of the chet. So that if we take the approach of the Dibros Tzvi, it's a little bit different than what we said until now. Until now we said that the punishment was meant to be a wake-up call to point out to the person what his sin was and where he has to do a tikkun and tshuva. But now we're saying a little bit more than that. That if there's this metaphysical process by which the sin creates a koach atuma, and the koach atuma is going to destroy a person, then it makes absolutely sense that mida keneged mida means that the punishment itself fits the crime. Why?
Hello, everybody.
Oh. All right, Johnny, we spoke about you earlier about the Eitz Hadas. All right, forget it. Anyway, now she left. So now, at this point, we want to open up to page 7 and talk about the punishment that Yosef sort of brings about to the other brothers when he takes away the Amtachto, and so forth. They declare, Avol Hashemim Anachnu Alachinu Asher Ra'inu Tzoras Nafsho Bishanano Eileinu V'lo Shamanu Alkein Bo Eileinu Hatzoras Zos. So if you'll take a look on page 7, you will see on the right side in the middle of the page the Pirush of the Rashbam. And he writes, Hatzara Hazos, when it says, Alkein Baal Leinu Hatzara Hazos, B'mida Keneged Mida. You'll find this also in the Sfarno. And the Sfarno writes, B'schanano Eleinu V'lo Shamanu, Hayinu Achzorim Keneged Achinu, we were cruel. Afal Pisha Chashvenu L'Rodef, we had all sorts of justifications, but at the end of the day, we were acting cruelly. We should have responded with compassion when he begged us for compassion. So that their cruelty is going to be paid up with cruelty. And once again, it would seem that we're saying here is that Mida Keneged Mida means that there's some sort of a correspondence that the Onesh is a result of the Chet, and it's directly corresponds to the Chet. And this Achzorius of the Bnei Yaakov, of the Shiftei Kav, vis-a-vis their brother Yosef, is going to jump back at them in the form of the Achzorius of this Mishnah Lamelech in the way he treats them. And the Ramban, if you'll take a look on the left side, also seems to indicate that Asher Ra'inu B'tzaras Nafsha B'schanu Eileinu Chishvu Lahem Achzorius La'onesh Gadol. And this Achzorius is worse than the Mechir itself. The selling of Yosef, okay, they had some sort of a justification in their minds. But to be totally cruel and not to listen and not to respond to his Hischananus, that's cruelty. And then instead they sit down and they break bread and they're totally apathetic to the suffering of their brothers. And therefore the Ramban says, Chishvu lahem achzoriously onesh gadol yoser min amachira. Getting back to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz here on the bottom of this page, to finish it up, he says, Al yidei ha'onesh shel mida keneged mida ba'u lidei hakoras hachet. This is Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's thesis, that Mida Keneged Mida has as its purpose Hakoras HaChet, whether it's because the punishment itself indicates the crime, because of its fitting correspondence to the crime, or because of the language that's being used. Sha'ad Heino Hayu Svurim Shelo Hay Aleim L'Rachem Aleim, until this point in which they suffer the Achzorius of the Mishnah L'Melech, they were convinced in justifying in their mind that they didn't have to have any compassion for him. He was a rodev, the bedin nischay misa, and that he, Yosef, deserved to be killed. Akevon sheba aleim atzora zos nochachu ladas, they became aware of the fact shkitos hoya biyodim. So the mida keneged mida here is a method of education to teach a person, convey a message, and wake him up in such a way that he'll understand that he was betosed, that if he thinks he was justified, that's far from true. And finally, and with this we'll conclude on page 8, we have the Gaon Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, who authors a sefer called Som Derech, which is an expansion and an enhancement of the Ramban. He's the Rashiv of Chevron Yeshiva, not alive now. And he explains that the anhagas shivtei ka lefashbish b'maseyem al menas lahavin me'onshim b'mida keneged mida ma hoya chetam. He says that the great character of the shivtei ka was to look into their actions in order to try to understand where they failed, and they were successful in discovering that by the onesh mida keneged mida, that would be the message that would convey to them what their sin was. Kasher nechredu b'mitzias hakesef when they were absolutely in shock and in fear when they discovered the Gevira, and they said, Mazos Osalokim, this is because we were cruel to our brother. And this is the thesis and the theme that runs throughout the writings of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that the purpose of an onesh is limud, is to teach us, to wake us up. And he goes on to say that we have to remember even the punishment of Miriam, and that's one of the Sheish Zechiros, because by remembering her punishment, we remember that it is a punishment for the cruelty and the lack of sensitivity in someone who speaks Lashon Hara. And all over our Torah and in every experience that we encounter, we should be learning Mida Keneged Mida as almost a sugya, as a message to teach us how and when and why we have to do tshuva. So for me personally, this is a whole new perspective on Mida Keneged Mida. I never understood it in that way. I always thought it's the punishment that fits the crime and that's it. But we're seeing a lot more than that in the presentation here of the various episodes about which Chazal say it's Mida Keneged Mida. So I would just conclude by saying that we should be zocher to learn from things that happen. Again, we should be zocher not to do any averos and chatoim, but if we experience or we see to our left or the right different things that are happening, view them as a message. Again, there are two other approaches. They're all valid. One approach is, as we saw, Hashgacha, that this is the way God reveals His involvement, His providence, and finally, that the sin itself creates a Koach HaTumah, and that Koach HaTumah boomerangs against the Chote because it's built into the sin itself. But the middle approach, which I think has many, many members of the giants of Israel that accepted this approach, is that Mida Keneged Mida is a message to a person waking him up to do tshuva for his sins. Okay. Thank you so much for your kind patience.